If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 23, as we've been doing, you know, tonight's going to be the same kind of, we're going to kind of stick with this thought process that we've had of seeing these encounters that people are having with the Lord, with Jesus. They're encountering him. It's changing them. They're being transformed. And then we see their testimony subsequently. They're testifying. And this is what ultimately forms the church. That's what ultimately creates a church, a body of people, the believers, the family of God. So in verse 26, we're going to read from verse 26 and probably through verse 49. I'll read through this. And then we'll go back and we'll look at a few of these characters. There's only a few of them that we're going to look at. There's a lot of people, a lot of things happening, but with the limited time that we have, we just only want to take a few and look at them. Now, verse 26 of chapter 23 of Luke's gospel. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man. They're leading Jesus away up toward Golgotha, which is the place of the skull, or known as Calvary, place of Calvary. It's just outside of the city of Jerusalem. It's right on the edge there by the, there's a which we know to be the tomb area, the garden tomb area. It's just outside the city, and they're leading him away. They're taking him, walking him through. It's a very public spectacle they're making of Jesus. And they led him away. They laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from this country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" Basically, Jesus is just saying, hey, a whole lot worse is coming. And it's, I wish you would see who he wanted them to see who he was right then. In verse 32, we pick up. He says, "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Christ, the chosen of God.'" Verse 36, "The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: 'This is the King of the Jews.'" So they wrote it in the language of the intellect, the Greeks, the Latin for the government, and they wrote it there in Hebrew as well, representing the religion. Then one of the criminals, everybody could read it, everybody understood it. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, so this is about noon, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. Then the sun was darkened, And the veil, which is about 10 inches thick, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And it says in other accounts, from top to bottom. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. We know that in other accounts of this same time, exact same time, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. We'll talk about that in a moment. So, when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that site, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Can you just imagine what that must have been like for some of them? As they stand off kind of at a distance watching all of this happening and watch it all unfold and how they feel, you know, just how they must have felt like, man, we've been traveling all over with him the last few years, watching him do all these miracles, watching him all, and now it's culminated into this horrible death. And what are they left with? What you can imagine what must be running through their minds. What are they left with? Now what do we do? As they just watch on. We'll talk a little bit more about them on Sunday morning. Some of those as they gather at the cross, we'll talk about, or at the tomb. So there's three different individuals I want to talk about. I'll give you the quick rundown on them, and we'll talk about each one of them. There's a Cyrenian, right? They're all C words. I'll make it easy on us. A Cyrenian, a criminal, and a centurion. The Cyrenian, interesting character. This guy is just kind of passing through. He's in the area, he's passing through. Now remember, we're looking at these from the perspective of what was their interface or what was their encounter like with Jesus, each of these individuals. Many of us have had a very specific encounter with the Lord. And there are these unique things that happen when you have an encounter with the Lord. And each encounter is different. His starts out, he was led away, Jesus is being led away, he's going along, you remember he's been beaten, he's been all this, and then all of a sudden, this Roman guard, you know, who's marching along with Jesus, they carried like, you know, swords or spears, and all of a sudden, this guy who's just kind of passing through, observing this whole thing going on, all of a sudden, the tip of the sword hits his shoulder. Now they know what that means. They're under Roman rule. That whole region's under Roman rule. They know what this means. The tip of the sword touching them, all of a sudden, man, you are going to be sequestered. You're going to be brought in to meet, to do something. You're going to get involved in what's going on. Even if you don't want to be involved in what's going on, you're basically compelled. Some of the other accounts of this say he was compelled. And that is true. The government would do that. The soldiers would do that. Hey, this guy can no longer carry this. So you are going to come up alongside and he's going to walk with you, but you're going to carry his cross. Now, all of a sudden, think about this. This guy's just hanging out. This guy's just kind of passing along and stumbles into this scenario as an onlooker. He's just watching what's happening. And all of a sudden he gets touched by the tip of the sword and gets engaged in this whole thing. Simon the Cyrenian. Boy, I bet that guy woke up that morning and thought, man, I'm going to go get a falafel, go, you know, go get, hang out, you know, it's the festival season. This is awesome. I'm, you know, going to have this great day. And all of a sudden there's this whole crazy thing going on and they're marching through town. This guy's all bloody. He's carrying this cross. And then boom, you get involved in the mix of it. He had no anticipation of anything like that. Very, very unexpected, his encounter with the Lord. I would have thought, and I think most of us would have thought the same thing, why me? Why now? Why didn't I take that other little, I could have taken a different little road. Why did I do this? Now, man, He's now a public spectacle. No blending in for that guy, you know? He's just visible out in front of everybody, and he's linked to this other guy, Jesus, who's about to get crucified. I mean, that's a wild thought. I would have thought that. Why me? What in the world? But as that spear touches him, he goes over, picks up the cross, and carries that along to change him for all time and eternity, that involvement. You see, we find him mentioned then again in Scripture. We see him found mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, and Acts 13, 1 through 3. In Acts 13, we see him there interacting and like being a leader in this group. Then we see him mention his sons being mentioned and being connected to him. And that's in Romans 16, 13. And as we see them being mentioned, so you see now, not only did it transfer, that encounter that he had transformed him personally. It transformed his family. And now here we are reading about these accounts of these people 2,000 years later. Powerful testimony, you think? That's pretty radical. Didn't wake up thinking that that was going to happen. I'm going to just a passerby, just kind of wandering along. Let's talk about the criminal. The next one, the criminal. Verse 32. There were these two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when he had come to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. These guys begin in verse 39. This one says, as they were hanging on either side of him, they start to blaspheme Jesus, the one guy does, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And then there's the other one. He says, answering, rebuked him, talks to this other guy on the other side of Jesus. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly receive our due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. They were getting what they deserved. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, we would get what we deserve. That's just the way it is. So really, the criminals are just like us. We, you know, make them out to be something. You know, no, they're just like us. They got caught in you know, illegal things, and they're being put to death for it. One on one side of Jesus and the other on the other. Isn't it interesting that one of them just still, even going to his death, is still mocking Jesus, and yet he's being killed, crucified too. And yet the other, it calls out to him, recognized his own need. He's saying, man, we're getting what we deserve. He didn't do anything. And now he then confesses. In other places, we find that both of them were mocking at one time. In some of the other accounts, they were both mocking. But then one of them changes his tune, recognizes they're in need. Deep need, and they recognize their need. He's desperate for help. And so in his desperate need for help, he cries out. Now, you don't think these guys were the same as Simon. They weren't anticipating it to go down like it was going to go down. They were going to get theirs. They're going to get killed for what they've done, and that's the way the day is going to go. It's going to be a horrible, horrible day. Right? And they're going to get theirs. This is what's coming to them. But all of a sudden now, they're there in the mix with Jesus, or Jesus is in the mix with them. Interesting. He looks at them. They look at him. He says, the one says to Jesus in verse 32, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's basically confessing him. He's saying, man, remember me when this happens, when this goes, when you die and you get your kingdom, remember me. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, if you can just get down, take communion with us, get baptized, repeat exactly after me, right? Is that what happened? That's not the storyline, is it? Brothers and sisters, we've got to get real about how great Jesus' love is, how vast his grace and mercy is. It's not about a legalistic thing. It's about a living relationship with a living God. That's really what it's about. I love days like today. I've been thinking about it all week long. I love these kind of things where it's a specific remembrance of something that is very connected to our faith. But what I love more is how it helps me to focus on who he is in my life and what he's done for me and what he's done for so many others and what he continues to do, what he purposes to do. This guy's desperate for help. And Jesus tells him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus knew this guy's heart, that he was desperate. He called out upon Jesus, and Jesus met him right where he's at. That was his encounter. You know what? That very day, he ended up in the presence of God for all eternity. That's awesome. We've got to remember that. From the absolute, this guy is from the depths of depravity right there in that moment. And as he expires, as his life on this side, he breathes in one side, exhales out on the other side, and he's with the Lord. What a great thing. The criminal, the Cyrenian, both powerful encounters. Let's take a look at one more, a centurion. Now, the centurion's a different deal. The centurion's just doing his job. He's just doing his job. He grabs his gear, goes out, you know, he's on duty, and this is what his duty is for the day, you know? Maybe that was his week of duty. Yeah, I just deal with stuff with crucifixions right now. That's what I'm dealing with, you know? That's his duty. That's what he's doing. So he shows up and, man, you think he had this big plan of he's going to really have this encounter with Jesus? But look at what happens with him. Oh, man. First, all him and all his buddies, they're mocking. Verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. You know, come on. If you're really God, if you're really the Son of God, come off that cross. Save yourself. Prove that. This is the thing though. What's so important for us is that jeering of prove it. You know, we understand that he could have called 10,000 angels, right? We know that. He is commander of all the forces of the universe, right? We talked about that. Lord of hosts is his name, and that's what it means. Commander of all the forces of the universe. He could have called 10,000 angels and in a moment just be done. But that's not what he was there for. He was there for you. He was there for me. He was there for all of humanity throughout the ages that would call upon his name, that they might be saved, that we might be redeemed. He's finishing a specific purpose that he has. And it's not going to be done until it's done. And coming off the cross isn't going to get it done. He needs to finish this sacrifice that he's making. He is, remember, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pick it up now in verse 46. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He is giving up his life because he's God. He's able to do that. He's giving up this physical life. He's giving it up. No one took it from him. He's giving it up. It reads like somebody took it from him, but for that purpose he came to give it up, to give us life. Having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion had saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. In other places, he even says, surely this you are the Son of God. Like he really confesses him as the Son of God. It is important that we don't see Jesus as just some wonderful prophet. It is important that we don't just see him as just this interesting figure throughout history. It is imperative that we see him for who he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of all who will call upon his name. That's who he is. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he confesses him. And we see that this absolutely changes him. And we look at his life in just this little encounter that he has. And you know that just watching the way Jesus, this is important because you know what? No one's exempt. Y'all were going to suffer. It's going to happen. If you haven't suffered, you will suffer. Suffering's part of this human existence. And some people go through all kinds of different suffering. It just depends upon who you are and what God's purpose for you. Suffering is a part of the human experience. But this soldier has, you know, he's a centurion is a warrior, okay? These guys are not just anybody's. The centurions are warriors. They've seen a lot. They're jaded to some extent. They've seen a lot of battle. They've seen a lot happen. They've lost friends. They're that kind of guy. He's watched probably hundreds and hundreds of crucifixions and people being killed, and you just get jaded. But something about watching Jesus suffering the way he suffered engaged him in the personal relationship with God, declared him as the Son of God. The centurion in his encounter, the Cyrenian in his encounter, and the criminal in his encounter all did the same thing. They saw him for who he was. We can look at many others that were having seen him, but weren't seeing him for who he was. It wasn't because he wasn't able to be visible. They just didn't want the truth. They wanted something else. Anybody who's really seeking truth, I repeat this, anyone who is ever honestly seeking truth will end up at Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth, and you end up at that person of Jesus Christ when you're seeking truth. All three of these people in various ways had a divine appointment. There was a schedule, a divine appointment with Jesus. An appointment for a specific encounter. Some of you may have known someone and you might have been like the centurion and you're just in your workplace and someone started sharing the Lord with you. The next thing you know it, you're having an encounter with Jesus. You meet Jesus. Some of you might be like the Cyrenian. I don't know. I was passing by. I came across this situation. I showed up and then next thing I know, you know, I had this encounter. Others might have been so desperate because of your circumstances. It doesn't have to be legal stuff. Who knows what it could be? But just so desperate for help, like the criminal, end up having an encounter with the Lord. Each one of these guys are transformed, each one of these individuals, for all eternity. And here we are, 2,000 years later, again, reading the storyline of what happened with them. It's a powerful testimony. A changed life is a powerful testimony.